The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Tuesday, terminal madness of the end times is knocking at the door. Believe it. Every day I look at these stories and they're just getting to be exactly that. Florida man shoots Burger King employee to death because order took too long. There's one. They're coming in all the time. Here's another one. Trump administration includes nearly $400 million, that's half a billion dollars almost, to remodel the West Wing in the White House. And that was put into the coronavirus relief bill. You got to think about these things. There's another story that makes me ill because I've said for years and years, and I know some of you aren't going to like this because you'll say, well, mine would never do that. A little girl, 13, was attacked by two pit bulls. And she's fighting for her life. Tore half of her scalp off and wounded her. They went for her throat, tore her throat up. That breed should be exterminated. That's my view. I'm hearing a feedback in the background.
Let me turn it down a little bit.
Thank you, David. We'll get to David in just a moment. That breed, there's no reason for that breed. None. Zero. None. There are a million breeds of dogs that are wonderful companions, terrific defenders, great friends, fearless in their defense of their family and masters. Pit bulls are designed for one thing, to kill. Look at them. Come on. And this is, how many stories have I run over the years? Pit bull kill older woman who went for a walk with her wonderful dogs. They just turn on their owners. There's something genetically wrong. The breed needs to be eradicated. That's my view. Sorry. Take it or leave it. Here's another one that is very concerning. Now, I've been told, I get told things. I was informed that Bank of America, hold on, let me do this first. Just a second, David, hold on. Well, let me say hello to David Duke. David is back. We're going to get to that wonderful conversation with him in just a minute, but I've got all of these things. I want to just put a couple of them out there. Here it is. Georgia teen fighting for her life after being attacked by two pit bulls. She went for a walk, right? Here's a killer. This is a bad one. 40%, 40, David, 40% of American renters are now facing eviction. Where are they going to go? That's 30 to 50 million people and families. Where are they going to go? Out in the streets? Nobody's doing anything about this. Where are they going to go? Hey, listen, I'm not in favor of socialism, but
they're going to go to hell, man. They're going to go
right.
to hell on earth.
That's right. That's right. And I wasn't in favor of lockdowns and destroying the economy, which was the plan, and it worked. And now these people have lost their jobs, lost their businesses. They're losing their homes. They're going to lose their lives, many of them. All right. And that makes me sick. I am ashamed to be an American because this government no longer represents the people, doesn't serve the people. It is raping the people, and that's what it's been doing ever since the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. Okay, there's one more here. Where is it? Let me see if I can find it. Gosh darn it. All right, never mind. We'll get to it later. David Duke has been a personal friend of mine for many years, and he is a friend of yours as well, if you like the truth, because David's journalism is anything but what the socialist, Zionist, mainstream media would have you believe. And if you don't know anything about David Duke, you have been missing out on one of the best sources of reality that you're going to find anywhere. He is flawless in his reporting. He always uses the data from the enemy of peace, freedom, and liberty. And he quotes them. He lets their own words do the talking. Okay? That's the truth. The truth is the truth. Welcome back, David. Thanks for the delay. I'm sorry. I had a lot of things bothering me here.
Well, anytime, Jeff, and thanks to you, because you've been doing this a long time. I've been doing it a long time, too. I just had a little get-together with some friends after 50 years of activism, more than that. You know, people got together for a little birthday celebration for me. And
happy birthday, David. Happy birthday.
Yeah, that was the beginning of the month, but it was a little delayed because of the coronavirus. But But it was a really wonderful event, and you've been in the fight for a long time, too. You've been fighting for our freedoms, fighting for our heritage, the beauty and greatness and magnificence of our Western civilization, freedom of speech. You've been an advocate of that your entire life. So thank you for the kind words you always give to me, but I just want to also make sure that your audience knows how much I respect your courage and your work over the years, and you're a mainstream media broadcaster, and you sacrificed a lot by telling the truth, and everybody that listens to your show, everybody in this country, really, if they really knew the truth, owes you a great deal of thanks, just as people feel they owe me some thanks. I said a lot of things years ago that nobody else would say. Unfortunately, I was right. I said that the immigration policy in this country was going to make the 90% European Americans a minority in our country. We were going to be outvoted, outnumbered and outvoted in our own country, and headed for disaster. And that was 1968. I was 18 years old at LSU. And I remember that the professors saying, "Oh, that's not true. The immigration bill was passed in 65. That's not going to change the demographics of the country," and blah, blah, blah. But unfortunately, obviously, it turned out I was true. I was right. And it's kind of and you've been true about so many things over the years, too, because I've been listening to you for a long time. I've learned a lot from you, and I think I've learned a lot about how to express myself in a decent and kind and effective and truly human way. And I really owe a lot, I myself owe a lot to you in my lifetime and things that I've learned from you. I just wanted to take a minute and say those things for you, because
you
deserve
it. Very much. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So if you want to get into it, like, we can just start. I mean, there's a couple of things I want to talk about. Let's try to, if I don't remember to get back into these particular things, you can remind me later. I do want to talk later on the program. I don't want to do this first because I think COVID is the big issue at this point. And it's not COVID, of course. It's the response to COVID. It is the insanity. It is the fact that they've used a kind of flu epidemic as an excuse to tighten the grip of censorship, to tighten the grip of control, to shut down freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, to drive people into their homes where they just get propaganda 24 hours a day.
Oh, my God, and they're telling them now, David, that they have to wear masks and goggles in their homes. This is honest. this is beyond science fiction, but they're doing it. It's true.
Beyond. But later on the show, though, I do want to get into the latest tape that was released. I just saw it on NBC News this evening, and last night, actually, too, of Floyd from the body cams. All the police officers had body cams. There were a lot of people in the audience taping it. It's obvious that these policemen certainly had no intent whatsoever to kill Floyd, to cause his death, to murder him. I mean, nobody in their right mind would do that, especially with the climate of this country. I mean,
especially,
we had the case just right. a few months earlier in the jogger case, quote unquote, jogger case in Georgia. And by the way, after that case, which was presented like a murder, that these were three white guys that just went after this black jogger and just murdered him because he was black. There's no mention about the fact that they were called by people who were facing burglaries, and he was identified on the tape, and they went to him. One of them was a retired police officer. They wanted to find out if the guy was doing burglary. They wanted to stop and ask him some questions. And yes, they were armed, like you can do that legally in this country. They didn't really even point any weapon at him whatsoever, according even to the tape. And they began to ask him some questions, just to make some questions. Yeah. And, I guess he felt guilty or whatever, but he tried to grab the gun, from one person. And in the process of trying to grab the gun, which would put them at risk, that's when he was shot. There was no intention to murder, but that was portrayed by the media again and again and again. This is before the Floyd issue. They were preparing the public for this, right? And they lied, because the truth is that it's vastly, there's vastly more. There's almost, not twice as much, but 75% more white people who are shot and killed by police as black people. That's just a fact.
That's important. And, that's really important. 75% more whites shot to death by police than blacks. Please understand that. One of the biggest lies of our time is this whole black victim crime thing. And that's just that the victims are whites. 9 out of 10 black and white crimes are black on white crimes. Get
exactly.
It. Understand it.
Nine out of ten of the cross race crimes, we should say,
are
crimes by blacks against whites. And I've talked about these figures on your show before. It's worth repeating because nobody knows them. They have this massive psychological programming because everybody has seen the tape of the jogger and the narrative they give it, which is a false narrative when they talk about it. They're not going to have a guy following with a camera. You know, if they're planning on shooting the guy, obviously, and committing a capital offense, right?
Of course.
But the thing is that everybody's seen this. Everybody's seen the Floyd tape. If you watch evening news, and I'm talking about whether you watch the national news, there's half the people who watch TV watch some sort of national news every night in America. It's like the thing they do before dinner, after dinner, whatever. They watch NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN.
They don't call it programming for nothing,
whatever.
Do they?
And every single network has showed this very gut-wrenching tape, you know, of this black man. And a police officer has his knee on him, holding him down. And they've seen this not a dozen times, but dozens of times. It's also played on their local news feed, just like locally, repeatedly, and with all this narrative around it. But they just released, we'll just go on this subject. I'll try to cover it real quickly and then go back to the COVID because we're here now. But here's the deal. The latest, you know, body cams. And by the way, they didn't release the body cams themselves. They didn't release all of the body cams. There was one of the body cams was leaked, in the case. The rest of them have been sealed. Now, why have they been sealed? Everybody's seen the videos of the crowd with the knee and so forth. Well, the reason why they didn't release tapes, but it shows that from the very beginning, Floyd was obviously high on drugs. He was absolutely animated. He was acting crazy and weird.
Oh, big time.
On drugs. And we know later the autopsy showed he was high on fentanyl. He had on methamphetamines in it, which make people like totally crazy. And he also had apparently some traces of cocaine in his system.
Let's also mention, David, he had two kinds of heart disease. The guy died of a heart attack.
Right.
Oh, drug overdosed.
Right. So, and this is a common thing when people say, I can't believe whatever. So they're trying to arrest him. He is physically resisting. This is the true scenario here. They're trying to arrest him. He is fighting them, right? Now this guy apparently passed a counterfeit bill. So that's a serious offense, including a federal offense as well as a state offense.
That's right.
And so they're trying to arrest him. And he says, don't shoot me, don't shoot me. Like, nobody's going to shoot somebody if they're just arresting someone for possibly passing a bill. But he was acting crazy. They put him in the back seat of the car. And the tapes show it. And he says, don't put me in the back of the car. I'm claustrophobic. They put him in the back of the car, and he says, I can't breathe. Well, obviously, this was minutes before the thing with the knee, so he was definitely breathing, right? So they knew very well that this is one of his tactics, that I can't breathe. But more importantly, here's
the guy.
See,
that's really
right?
important. Ladies and gentlemen, he was using that phrase long
right.
before he was down on the ground with the knee on the back of his neck. Side
and
in the back, not on his throat. Go ahead.
The leftist police department, the black police chief, and by the way, the black police chief is one of the people that were involved in giving the protocols of what police officers are supposed to do when you have a person resisting arrest. And the way that you keep the suspect down until he gets calm, you don't want him, if he's on his feet with cuffs, he's liable to butt your head. He can do anything, right? And he can hurt himself. And this guy, Floyd, was in the car, and I bet you there's cams that show this too. This is all part of the transcripts. So the police officers are talking. This guy is bashing. He's on drugs. He's on a bad trip. He's bashing his head into the window of the car. He's bleeding from the nose and the mouth. And I want you to picture this now, right? And he asks the cops. It's on the transcript, and you can see it basically on the video. He asks the cops to let him out of the car and let him lay down. Right. And you know what? Because they were afraid he was going to hurt himself bashing his head into the backseat of the car. Now, they're not in the backseat of the car with him. In fact, at one time they tried to physically stop him. So they took him out of the car and they let him lie down. He still was resisting. Right. And this whole thing is crazy. And of course the autopsy, which was done. And by the way, that is the protocol, by the way, to put somebody down and you hold them down with a knee. That's the way you put your body weight.
And who taught U.S. police officers to do that? The Israeli police. This is part of their training. That's how they handle Palestinians.
And it's a normal tactic for somebody resisting arrest. I mean, if they're just acting crazy, even if you got somebody with handcuffs, you're trying to handcuff someone.
Sure.
This is a normal method to try to hold people down. Now, he didn't suffocate. There was an autopsy. And by the way, one of the most leftist places on the planet Earth, you know, is
did the autopsy.
It's Minneapolis, Minnesota, right? And in fact, the city council voted to defund the police, right? But their own authorities, the coroner, examined the body, said there was no choking, that the guy was not suffocated at all. He died from a heart attack.
Uh-huh.
He died because of underlying heart disease. He died because he was on drugs that very badly affect the heart, right? Obviously, like fentanyl is a very deadly drug. And you combine that with heart disease and you combine that with his violence, that's what killed him. And maybe it could have been handled different, even though we all know that. But this kind of shows exactly, you know, the lies that are being gone. All four of these officers, you know, they certainly shouldn't be charged with any offense. They're actually trying to help him by letting him lay on the ground because he was smashing his head into the windshield.
Now, again, and this is all in the body cam videos. You have to understand that. We're not making this up, okay? These are facts.
But of course, the narrative was horrible because they're showing him and they say, this is a shocking thing. And you know, watch out for your children to see this because it's so disturbing. Right. But the guy is in there, you know, saying, I can't breathe and, you know, let me out. I can't breathe. And, you know, all this stuff. And obviously he, you know, he should have been able to breathe in, and he was breathing then, obviously, right?
He was breathing for the 6 or 7 minutes before he passed out or his heart quit. Because if he weren't breathing, how could he talk and yell like that? Come on.
He was breathing for the 10 minutes before that time when they were trying to stop him.
And he was saying then, I can't breathe.
To help him not hurt himself. His mouth and nose were bleeding from banging into the window of the car. Cause when they put you in a back of a police car, I've had the pleasure of that a few times being arrested for political crimes. You know, they put you in the back of a police car. They're not back there with you, you know? And if someone's back there, you can really hurt yourself. You can bang yourself into the cage. You can bang yourself into the windshield.
Yep.
You can do serious harm to yourself. And this guy was doing it. So anyway, they're trying to help him basically, but also secure him. And I think they were surprised as anybody that he died. And, but anyway, this whole thing is amazing. And you think about it, this guy is like a hero, George Floyd. This guy had a history. He was arrested and put into prison for years for a home invasion. A pregnant woman, you know, sticking their gun into the belly of a pregnant woman, right? You know,
clever
I mean,
fellow. What a clever guy. Just really.
Right? And this guy was arrested for drugs numerous times. He was obviously a drug dealer, right? In addition to probably being a counterfeiter.
Did you see, excuse me, David, did you see the video that I stopped and showed where he dropped two, what they call dime bags? On the street as he was being taken out of the Mercedes, the cop didn't notice. He actually dropped two bags of drugs on the street. And you've explained it very well. This is all just disgusting. Hold on a minute.
Mind training.
Yeah.
This Bolshevik propaganda.
Oh, it's called programming. That's television. Programming.
Yeah.
Mind training. Mind control. Absolutely. Back with Dr. David Duke in just a minute. Okay, welcome back. Talking with David Duke, as we do once a month. You can hear David's program on this network every morning, Monday through Friday, one of the most invaluable sources of real information. And I dare anyone to sit back and, with an open mind, listen to David and not come away radically changed in your view of the mainstream media psychological operation matrix that is pounding their lies and distortions into our heads 24/7. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to spend the whole evening on the Floyd case. We've heard so much about it and so forth, and it's just amazing.
You made all the key points. The truth is the truth.
The most basic point about this. I mean, every day, and on DavidDuke.com, and those people, you can find my site. Sometimes it's a little slow because it's under attack a lot by the people who don't like freedom of speech. And nowadays, I used to be able to put memes and I used to take a lot of headlines out of newspapers and link to articles, the mainstream media articles, proving the points that we make here. But you can't get me on Twitter anymore. I was permanently banned from Twitter this last week. It was big news all over the world. I was covered by every newspaper across the world gloating about how they banned me from Twitter for hate speech. But it's just insane when you think about it. And one of the things that I talk about, for instance, I talk about the cases we've had in America, and we have massive numbers of innocent white people, including young girls, young boys, killed by black thugs. And there is a study. That's just a study. This is the United States government, Justice Department figures, all right? This is from the Bureau of Statistics of the United States Justice Department, right? And I can show you, this is from the 2018 interracial violent crime incidents. And they keep some track of violent crime incidents by a perpetrator and victim. And this is from 2018. right? And they keep the track of this because they're always talking about racism. We want to make sure there's no racism going on here. And this just shows you the hate they're doing against white people, because if you watch the media and you watch the news, you would think that white people were just killing black people every day, abusing black people, discriminating against them, hurting them, harming or whatever. But they keep the records of violent crime incidents between the races. For instance, black on white, black and Hispanic, white on black, white and Hispanic, Hispanic on white, Hispanic on black, right? And they keep these statistics specifically, right, by the Justice Department. And here's what they show, right? They show that there's been 50, it seems like a lot, but wait till you hear the rest of this. There was 59,778 white on black cases of some sort of violent crime. We're talking about robbery, rape, assault, murder, whatever. By the way, rapes, it's almost no white males raping black women. That's according to the Bureau of Justice Statistics as well, that show basically for the years they kept this data, it was almost, well, listen to this, it was between 20,000 and 40,000 white women every year raped by black males. And most years there was zero, basically with an asterisk, meaning less than 10 of white raping of black women. So it's pretty amazing. But 59,000 blacks that they say were the white was charged. And again, sometimes I think that's made up. But this is the interesting point. The black on white crime, in other words, the number of black on white violent crimes, including robbery, rape, murder, assault, and the rest. And by the way, many of these victims are old women in the 70s, 80s who their homes are broken in and they're raped and they're beaten. We had a tape which wasn't shown on the major news except for Tucker Carlson of a COVID-19 black guy positive, a young guy is putting a nursing home in a room with a white guy. This guy makes tapes condemning black, white people, and he's beating on this old white man, right? He's bleeding. He's suffering. The black guy's beating on this white man. Now, we know he's a racist. He even did tapes. I don't think he was charged with any hate crimes. And you know, later, a couple months later, the white guy died, probably in part from the effects of this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's 547,948 white people who've been attacked violently, brutally. And we're talking about being murdered, robbed, raped, assaulted, whatever, right? 547,000. Now, what do these figures mean? So what you got to do is you got to work out the probability. And it's very easy to do. And when you think about the fact that blacks are only 13% of the population max, it's between 12 and 13%. And all of those blacks, by the way, believe it or not, I mean, it's not even put into the figures, but all those blacks are themselves sick or they're in jail or, you know, all sorts of things where they can't even hurt people. But the percentages and black males, these are black male crimes, truly. And so this 547,000, right, black assaults against white people. Well, blacks are 13% of the population. So we have 13% of the population committing 547,000 assaults are violent crimes and murder and all the rest of it against white people, while whites, who are 60% of the population, committing only 59,000. So you think of it, so you got 13%, right, doing 547,000 assaults cross rate against whites, and you got whites who are 60% only doing 59,000 crimes. So what that means is that the average, if you encounter an unknown black person on a street, let's say a dark night or a day, or the average black person has 40 times more likelihood of committing serious violence against a white person than a white person has of being or committing serious violence against black people. And yet, if you watch the media and the news, you would think that there was open season on poor black people who are being murdered. And of course, even the blacks who were killed by police, we talked about those figures. They're very clear. You can see them without any question. In fact, they had a chart on NBC News the other night, and they were showing, and I'll show you how they do with the propaganda. Here's the chart they showed on NBC News. They filled the whole screen, CBS News, one-on-one with President Trump. And then they talking about the facilities, and they're saying that Trump's wrong. Well, yeah, more white people are killed than black people, but there's far more white people than there are black people, right? So they're saying that blacks are killed 2.5 times or 3 times more likely to be killed than white people. That shows racism. So the figures were white people, 2,353 killed by police, and black people, 1,487. But guess what they don't tell us, Jeff, and anybody out there listening, guess what they don't tell you in those figures? They say, well, this means, yes, it's true that black people are vastly more killed by police than black people are killed by police. But blacks are 13% of the population, and blacks are 60%, so they're at least 4 times more blacks. So the truth is that blacks are more likely to kill by police than white people are. They just don't happen to mention to you that the two most serious categories of violent crime are, of course, murder and armed robbery and armed assault, right? And in those categories, blacks commit 55% of the murders in America, depending on the year, 53 to 55% of the murders in America, 53%. They're committing most, in fact, in terms of armed robbery, more white people. Again, most armed robberies are committed by blacks, and more white people are actually robbed and assaulted by blacks in armed robbery than blacks are armed and assaulted by blacks. So, in armed robbery. So there you go. So what that shows you is that blacks are at least, depending on the crime, but they're 5 to 10 or 12 times more likely, right, far more likely to do a violent crime and have a run-in with police officers, right? And obviously, if you are encountering police officers and you're committing a murder and you know that you might even face the death penalty if they catch you, right? You're more likely to try to kill the police officer or to fight back or to resist, right? So what this shows is that because blacks commit so many more crimes, as we illustrated by the cross-racial crime and by this statistic, what this means is that white people are the ones facing a systemic bias. And that, I mean, I think it's obvious why that is, because every white policeman knows if they kill black people, even if it's an accident, even if it's, you know, even if they're under serious attack for their life, they know that if they fire back and they kill a black person, they're far more likely to have big problems, lose their jobs, go to prison, have their family destroyed, ruined, right, than if you just shoot a white criminal. So that's the reason. And that, so those statistics actually show that if there's any systemic bias by police, it's systemic bias against whites, not for whites. So
absolutely,
by saying that, you know, that this shows that 2.3 times more black people per capita are shot, they just don't tell you that blacks are committing 7, 8 times, 10 times more murders and armed robberies and other violent crimes than white people are in those kinds of crimes. So again, it just shows you how they just don't ever start, you know, stop lying. I'd like to go into the COVID unless you have another comment about this real quickly, but.
No, you've covered it very well, and thank you for doing so. Let's jump into the plandemic.
Okay. Let's go into this a little bit, and I've got a couple of things to say I think that you'll find very interesting, because I really study, and as you know, I'm really oriented towards science. You know, I really wanted to be a doctor as a young man, and I've read a lot about evolutionary theory and history. I've read a lot about biology. I've read a lot about everything from IQ and inherited traits. And, you know, you talked about pit bulls. Pit bulls, as you know, are bred to fight. And they're bred to have really strong necks. And you can see this in a pit bull. Very
look
strong.
Look at their jaws, for God's sake. The,
right.
The PSI,
they, you know,
when they close their jaws.
They're bred to be killers. They're bred to be fought. And you can do that genetically, right? And they're also bred to be aggressive. But it's not just their aggression. They may be just about the same, but you can make almost any dog aggressive. But if you notice that dogs – and by the way, just like people, there's a lot of evidence on this. There's huge genetic studies that have been done where people are, born in an adoption pool, and they're not even raised with their genetic parents. But when their genetic parents are criminals, the kids raised by adopted parents who are middle class and upper, you know, who go out and adopt these kids, that they're twice as likely to commit violent crimes as adopted children from parents who are not criminals, even if the parent doesn't even know at the time they adopted them that their parents are criminal. I mean, it's really quite amazing. And people have, and that may be one reason why the difference is because there are racial differences. That doesn't say that we should, you know, discriminate and harm black people. Doesn't mean that a black person is qualified, shouldn't be treated fairly. It doesn't mean that a black person shouldn't have justice and should be prosecuted unjustly or unfairly. But, you know, it could be, and it's obvious that people are affected, by their heredity, by their heritage. And yep. one good example of this in how it's not racist, you know, I can show you hundreds of articles in the media that tells us that the reason why blacks are disproportionately, and again, more whites are actually dying from COVID in this country and obviously in Europe than black people, but the reason why disproportionately black people get COVID is not because of some sort of systemic racism. For instance, they showed in Europe, in the UK, they showed some of the leading doctors of the UK who died from COVID, right? And yeah. Amazing, even though the Asian doctors, and there's a lot of good Asian doctors, are very rich and they're doing very well, and some of the leading doctors of Britain are very dark-skinned people, they were most of the deaths in COVID. And these are leading doctors. These are people in the healthcare system itself. They're respected, right? And they found out, and a black scientist, by the way, well, actually he was an Indian scientist, very dark skin. He found out the reason why black people are more likely to die from COVID-19 is because of the fact that they have very deficient levels of vitamin D3. And D3 is not simply a vitamin. It is a hormone that affects about 800 and 900 genes of the body. And right. When you have a deficiency there, your immune system is shot. And when they did studies, and they've done at least 24 studies around the world of COVID patients who have died and survived, and COVID patients who died are people with COVID-19 who died. They were found to be, listen to this, it's really amazing, that 94% of them were vitamin D deficient. And among white people, most of the white people that die from it are vitamin D3 deficient. Mm-hmm. So now why are blacks vitamin D deficient? It's because they're black. They're darker skinned, and in evolutionary terms, they developed a darker skin because in equatorial regions and a much more bright, hard sun. So they were getting enough vitamin D through the melanin, the darkness in their skin, to still get the vitamin D because they're outside all the while in their evolutionary history. Well,
for a Caucasian, David, 1 minute in the sun will produce about 10,000 units of natural vitamin D3 in your body. 1 minute in the sun. That's all.
Yeah, whatever. It's a lot. And it varies. And so we know that blacks are deficient. Also, blacks are much more prone to be obese. They're much more prone to have diabetes, which is also a cofactor. They're right. much more likely to have heart disease. So these factors are just, you know, absolutely amazing. And yet we have a hate-filled, racist media that tells us any black that's dying from COVID or any black that's a criminal, right, or any pit bull, and there's some people that argue this too, any pit bull that kills somebody, it could have been killed by any other dog. Well, that's not true. I have a Maltese. I know people, you know, you literally never see of a case, and it would be like a man bites a dog case, to see a Labrador retriever, right? A golden Labrador retriever.
Yeah.
They're the safest creatures you can put with your kids. They're safer than having your kid being protected by another kid, right?
or even a lot of babysitters.
You better believe it. So there you go. I mean, it's like, and of course, again, part of it is environment for sure. But we know that pit bulls are more dangerous, and we know that you can take a wild wolf, and dogs are all descended from wolves. But we know that the cases of wolves, even though they're raised from birth, perfect environment, they go out and kill their masters or kill the children of their masters. They think, oh, this is a good wolf and all this stuff. And they end up, you know, eating or killing their child, right? Because again, that's genetics, and genetics affect things. And that's why the truth is that the big lie in our world is that there's no difference between races. There's no differences in race and
personality. Oh, and then all men and women are created equally. That's the biggest lie of all.
Of course,
we're not all equal.
And you know what? It's not hateful to say that.
It's the truth.
And it's not hateful to deal with that as reality, right?
If somebody has 140 IQ and another person has a 98 IQ, are they created equal?
Right.
Please.
And I believe in, you know, I've never advocated, quote, white supremacy, meaning suppressing other people or harming other people.
You never have. Never.
No, I never have, and I condemn any sort of suppression. But I don't, you know, I've always said that, you know, that a black person who's better qualified should get the job or promotion or scholarship or whatever, the opportunity.
We should be colorblind to talent and ability. Correct.
But if it's evil to discriminate against them, then it should also be evil to discriminate against a young white person. And by the way, 2/3 of the actual poor in this country have very bad environmental issues and broken families and overcoming alcohol problems or disease problems or even veterans who are disabled. You know, a lot of white people have very difficult times, but they study harder and they work harder and they show genius. Why in the hell should a young white kid who comes from a poor family in rural Appalachia or something, why should he be discriminated against of, say, the children of Jesse Jackson, you know, who have millions of dollars, right? Why should they face discrimination because they're of a different race? And by the way, Trump was right not to go to the funeral of Lewis because, you know, it's one thing to say, okay, black people have got to have fair treatment in the courts and they have got a right to get hired in a job. And I think they always had that right for the most part, in America. And most big companies of the country did treat them fairly. But here's the deal. They had that right. They do have that right. But Mr. Lewis and the entire black establishment, the NAACP and the radical blacks and the radical Jewish media establishment has always pushed for, quote, affirmative action, which is a very nice propaganda term for racial discrimination against white people. Right?
Complete. It's racist. It's discriminatory. It should have been held illegal immediately.
So Lewis said that it was racist not to discriminate against a white person, a better qualified white person, to a university or to a school or to a job or to a promotion. The CBS News the other day had a big special, and both networks did, about the first Navy fighter pilot was a black woman. But I guarantee you that there were hundreds, because a lot of people want to have that position, who are better qualified than the black woman, who are white males, who they match the physical test better, they match the mental test better. They match their aptitudes better.
Right.
They got the records.
Well, they want the minorities in there, whether they're Asians, blacks, or Latinos. They want those people in visible positions of competence. So they promote them past others who are perhaps more qualified.
So
obvious.
That's the last thing. We've only got four or five minutes here, but, you know, and the easiest thing I can say about the COVID is, first off, we know for a fact that COVID lockdowns have done no good. You can take every country in the world that's done a lockdown, all the countries that haven't done lockdowns, that experienced the virus, and there's no consistency. The pinpoints are all over the map, right? All over the map. And for instance, Sweden is right in the middle of the countries that did the lockdown. They never had lockdowns. They don't even wear masks, right? Schools never closed. And you know what? Not only has their economy not declined, it's actually improved.
Oh, it's thriving.
Right? Yeah. And now it's dropped down to nothing. It's fallen off a cliff. Another issue, too, is the fact that lockdowns, the biggest amount of deaths in America were in New York, right? And in New York, which has, 19 million, almost 20 million people, right? They had lots of deaths. Most of the deaths were in nursing homes. And I said from the beginning on your show, I said, we got to protect the elderly, right? And if you would have done that, yeah, you just let's save lives.
Cuomo kind of forgot about that, didn't he? He put infected people in those nursing homes, and God only knows how many tens of thousands died.
Did a lockdown starting in March 20, right?
Yeah.
And there, now, you know, if the lockdown is in effect, right, it should, the incubation period for this thing is between 5 and 12 days. A lot of people show symptoms and become contagious or get the disease in 5 days. Some people up to a week and a half or so.
Right.
This went on and still plateauing like 10, 12 weeks later in massive numbers of death. And that's because New York is very, very tightly wound. I mean, it's got a very high population density, right? And what that means, Jeff, is even with the lockdowns, there's no way you're not going to get this disease spread. For one thing, this is it's called nosocomial disease. One of those diseases that's spread by, hospitals and doctor's offices,
right,
and so forth.
Right.
So what the media did is they scared everybody. Everybody can die of this virus. And that just wasn't true. It's not true at all. There's just no truth to it whatsoever. And I can give you a little example of this. And it really is, you know, amazing. Let me see if I can find that for you. I've got that in my, but here's the situation. On the other day, I read there's an article in the New York Times, right? So this is an amazing piece. I can't wait to share this with you, right? So here's the New York Times headline. Okay. The headline is, quote, New York Times, big special article. The biggest monster is spreading, and it's not the coronavirus. It goes on. Tuberculosis kills 1.5 million people each year. Lockdowns should threaten progress against the disease, as well as HIV and malaria. This article goes on to say that this is going to cost, you know, between increased tuberculosis, which is burgeoning now, massively
right.
increased.
Yes, it is.
Right?
Especially
and in
terms the inner
of
cities.
HIV, in like yeah. retinal virus, because they're not getting that treatment, and malaria around the world, that this is going to cost 2.5 million lives. Now, this was all done because it's supposed to save lives, right? You know, you've had only 600,000 people die from this disease. You have suicides, and those are mainly young people that do that these days too. I mean, young people are very bad about this. Teenagers, they lose their whole life, right? Suicides are 200-300% more. Drug addiction overdoses, and that's a small part of it. And by the way, think about the fact that the drug overdoses have been running for the last 5 or 6 years higher in the entire death toll of the Vietnam War. This was spread by the Zionist Sackler family. He's one of the biggest, you know, contributors to Israel, by the way. And,
yep.
but this has killed three quarters of a million people, right? And that's just in the drug overdoses. Hundreds
yes.
of millions worldwide have been destroyed. Their lives have been, and they've died later because their organs are destroyed. Their brain is destroyed. They commit violent crimes. Later, they commit suicide or whatever because of drug addiction. Their families are destroyed. Their children's lives are destroyed. Hundreds of millions of people are destroyed by this. And the Federal Drug Administration just overlorded this. They sat over all this and let this happen. And they let this drug, you know, which is 1,000 times more addictive than heroin, being pushed by the doctors, being bribed by these pharmaceutical companies. The other big company involved in this is Tessa, which is an Israeli pharmaceutical company, right? So that's hundreds of millions of people. They didn't protect us, right? And I just saw a really interesting meme. I'm going to put it on my Gab. I'm on Gab now because I'm off Twitter. So you can go to find me at Gab at Real David Duke.
Right.
And Gab, this meme is an amazing meme. It shows a child with a mask on. And it points out that a child, you know, a young child under young girl under 17 years of age, right, is 60,000 times more likely to be sex trafficked and abused, right, in this country 66,000 more times than she is a chance to die from COVID-19. And yet, where's the attention? Where's the media attention while the Epsteins were doing it all, the other sex traffickers and the perverts across this United States of America and across the world? And the perverts who are given free reign with this horrific pornography and this vile destruction of America. And so this disease itself, it's not the disease, but the response to disease has killed basically 100 times, 1,000 times, taken more lives. We had 40% less emergency room visits of people that had stroke and heart attacks, right? That causes lives. When you have a stroke and heart attack and you're afraid to go to the emergency room, and the reason why that is because these hospitals weren't even segregating these COVID-19 patients from the normal people. Right. I mean, we have a government and a media.
We got to wrap it up. Go ahead.
I don't know if you can go a little bit in the next hour. I'd love to talk longer, but I know you've got another guest. But we have a government, basically, that by these lockdowns has killed millions. In fact, 100 million. I'll give you one last figure and statistic. This was also published in New York Times and other major publications. The head of the World Health Organization says it's 140 million people in the planet right now who are in the process of starving to death. And the financial, they didn't say it was because of the lockdowns. They said the financial damage of COVID-19 was going to raise that to 270 million people. So you're talking about 100 and whatever, 30 million or whatever to 270, you know, amazing. 140 million additional deaths of starvation. And they showed in the article children, and that's the people that die from starvation more than other people, because kids, when they don't get eat, their bodies, they're the first ones to die. And so this whole thing is a gigantic lie, and it's being used by the media to do two things: to sweep the Democrats in, to have full Bolshevism in America, to defeat Trump, who they do hate vilely, and they're willing to destroy the economy to do it. And they're not destroying the Zionist banking community. They got the biggest money from the bailouts is the banks. They didn't get $2 trillion. They got
David, we got to run. I'm sorry.
The banks.
Okay. Thanks for everything. Great job. Keep it up. Be safe. Yeah. Okay. Talk soon. Dr. David Duke. You bet, David. Okay. We'll be right back. Hang on.